My background is one of being in the Church of England from a tiny boy and singing in church choirs. And for many, many years, I sang in traditional Anglican church choirs. And if you know anything about historical Anglican church choirs, there are some wonderful, wonderful bits of choral music. There's such a tradition of English choral music, although a lot of it was written in Latin and sets of music. But it's incredibly powerful. Now, at the time, I was going to various different churches and singing in choirs, and actually, there was not much life in the church. But nonetheless, when I became a Christian, and as I grew up, I would often go back to some of these things, and there was such a power in linking the words to the music. And I can listen to some of these church anthems now that most people would say, "What on earth are you listening to?" And I just get such a lot out of it. It's amazing. Now, one of the... you've heard the Wesleys, haven't you? John Wesley. John Wesley's brother Charles wrote thousands of hymn tunes, literally thousands of hymn tunes. And his grandson was a guy called Samuel Sebastian Wesley, who's probably my favourite church composer. But there's another more recent one called Charles Villiers Stanford. And he wrote this piece of music. So, Jess, if you could put that screen up, please, for me. Okay, so that's the title. And it's the most fantastic piece of music. The question is, what does it mean? So, okay, who's done Latin at school? Not Raj, you're not allowed. Old Gil and Tim. Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of interaction here. All right, anyone that hasn't failed Latin at school, anyone know what that means? Oh, blessed. So beati, yeah? So to do with beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed. So it said beati. I mean, it's plural, so that means they are blessed. Quorum, you've seen that word before, haven't you? Yeah? Have you got enough people in a committee or whatever? It actually just means... sort of them, really. Via, through, or it actually can also mean the way, yeah? Integra. Integration, holding together, yeah? Yeah. This is all completely wrong, by the way. Everyone's sitting there going, no, don't do this, no. And then I'll give you the stream, which is exactly what it says. It's like, you know, the blue dog walked over the green grass. No, it doesn't mean that. There we go. Yeah. Now, blessed are they whose way is integrity. Blessed are they whose way is integrity. Now, you wouldn't say that. That's just rubbish English. You wouldn't say that. Integrity is a very funny word because you can't have it as an adjective. Okay? You can't have something which is, you know what I mean? You could say integral, yeah, which has a slightly different meaning. So, Jess, if you go to the next one, please. I think the best translation of that is blessed are they whose life has integrity. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, integrity. And it's something that's been kind of dwelling with me for the last little while, and I'm going to pick up a few things, even some things Daryl shared this morning, something I read on a blog yesterday, some other stuff that's happened in recent days. And I hope it'll all come together under the theme of integrity. It actually blew me away. You'll hear me say this more later. When I actually read something yesterday morning, which was exactly on that, and that forms one of my points later. If you think of somebody who would say is a person of integrity, what would that say to you? I don't want to know names because they might be here and it might be really embarrassing for them. But think of someone that you know is a person of integrity. It might be someone you know personally. It might be someone you know from seeing on TV or a national figure. If you say that is a person of integrity, what sort of things does that conjure up in your mind? Feel free to kind of shout them out. You trust them, yeah? Good man and true. Any women? Yeah, okay, right. Good, just checking. Loyal? Honest? Sorry? Humble, okay, yeah. Consistent? Yes, yeah, some great answers. High moral standard, yeah. So you've got a bit of a flavour of what you think by what the word integrity means. Now, here's a question. That is the Latin translation of a verse in the Bible. Do you know where it comes from? No, and I'll give you a clue. If you've been reading the Bible in a year and keeping up to date, it's not that long ago. No? Okay, it is Psalm 119, verse 1. Ah, so in the translation from the Hebrew would say something like this. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Now, I've only got the first half of it there. But it's blessed are those whose ways are blameless. And Jess, if you could put the next one up for me, please. I won't bother with the zapper. I'll just let you do that. Put some synonyms there for the words integrity or blameless. I'll let you read them for a moment. Does that seem a good set of words to... For the benefit of those listening to the recording, the words are intact, whole, complete, undefiled, without blemish, upright, straightforward, sound, sincere, perfect, full, correct, truthful, equitable. And that bit at the bottom is something that I've just put together. It's kind of when it all holds together. Yeah? So when something's integrated, as Ben was saying earlier, it's kind of all together. You're doing it with your hands, which is a great thing to do. It's kind of, it all hangs together somehow. And a person who has got integrity is where it all hangs together. It's whole. It's complete. Or they are whole. They are complete. Now, I'm going to look at four different areas, if I may, tonight. So, Jesse, if you have the next slide, please. You'll see that as a mathematician, I should have put them as 1, 2, 3, and 4. But that was too straightforward. So you've got 1A, 1B, and then 2 and 3. Reason being that the first one and the second one are both about spiritual integrity. But I thought I'd separate it into two bits. So how I am with God when I'm on my own, how I am with God when I'm with others, and then the personal integrity about how I am within myself, and relational integrity, how I am with other people. And if you try and keep in mind the whole idea of integrity being about someone or something that's whole, complete, integrated, hanging together, yeah, that might be helpful. So the first one, Jess, please, spiritual integrity, how I am with God on my own. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. I know Daryl likes being honest in the pulpit about all his failings, but I'm going to tell you some of mine, probably. January the 1st, we're going to do the Bible in a year. Great, new project. We haven't done that for 3 years as a church, so we'll do that. And we've got this new app, and we'll read the app. And so first day, you look at the video and you think, oh, this is a great video. I love this. These videos are brilliant. And then you kind of, that takes about 10 minutes or whatever. And then you think, right, I'll crack on now. I'll read my three or four chapters of Genesis. And that takes you another 15 minutes. And all then there's a psalm. And then you kind of, oh, that's another 5 minutes. So by the time you've done all of that, it's about 25 minutes. Now, Rachel and I have got into the habit since we're both retired. I know we don't look old enough, but we have both retired. No, sorry, Rachel doesn't look old enough to have retired. But we've taken, what we've tried to do since we're both retired is to make sure that we have time together praying every morning. We haven't always been able to manage it, certainly when we were both working or when one of us was working, the other one wasn't, because we both had a phase of being part-time and what have you. But you can imagine the scene, January the 1st, do the video. Read the chapters of Genesis and read the psalm. Okay, 25 minutes. Okay, should we pray now? Okay, let's pray. So we sit and we'll pray together. I'm not going to pretend it's 2 hours. It's not. But it might be 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And then you think to yourself, okay, good. Well, that's an hour. Right, let's crack on with the rest of the day. And do you know what's happened over a period of time is I've lost some stuff which I had previously. Because something new spiritually has come in, which has been good, but I've lost something. I lost my personal devotional time that I used to have with God in the mornings. Now, when Rachel was at work and I was off, it was great because I would get up in the morning and do whatever I wanted to do. But seriously, I would often get up. I wouldn't even necessarily get dressed. too much detail. And I would sit at the keyboard and I would worship. I know Daryl was sharing this morning about how he worships to MP3 or whatever. But I would just sit and play and worship. And then that'll go into prayer and whatever. And I'm not going to tell you how long it was for. I'm not going to pretend it was, you know, anything amazing. But I could be as free as I wanted to be. Then I would probably go to the gym, and then I'd come back, get dressed, and have my breakfast at about 11. Then try and do without lunch and carry on from there. But for me, since we've got a new pattern, I've lost some things. And I've had to fight hard or to try and find ways to reestablish things that I'd lost. If you like, I'd lost some of the completeness of my Christian walk. So there were aspects of it that had gone because of good new things that were happening. And that's just me being honest about it. Even spiritual things like going to Kelling Heath or One Event, they play havoc with your routines, don't they? Or Christmas. You know, you kind of have all your plans and then the family come to stay and you don't get time to spend in reading the scriptures. I know Daryl shared before now, but barring himself in the toilet just to get time on his own. But that's what the sort of thing we need to do, because if we're not careful, things can go to pot. What would you say would be the key elements of that? Don't change the slide yet, please, Jess, but how you are with God on your own, what would be the key elements of your personal walk with God, your personal time with God? What would you expect or do you think should be included there? Fire away at me. Prayer. Time of quietness and listening. This is always like you do at school. You say, guess what's in the teacher's head game this is. You have to think what he's going to say and put up there, and you have to make sure you get those ones. So, okay, so time of quietness. Thanksgiving. Meditation, reflection. Anything else? Pardon? Thankfulness, yep. Worship. Okay. The Word. Reading the Bible. Okay, let's just flick up what I've got there, Jess, and let's see how much of a close match it is and see if there's anything I've missed or anything that you think is there that you didn't think of. So prayer, worship, reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, waiting on God, fasting. Okay, so most of those were mentioned. Last one wasn't, was it? Fasting. I don't know if any of you have ever come across a book called A Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, have you? It's around for a long time. It's been around since, I think, the 70s probably. But it is a very, very good book. And he talks about, well, in fact, he splits it up into the inward disciplines, the outward disciplines, and the corporate disciplines. And for the inward disciplines, he talks about four things: meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. So he includes fasting in that, and that's my version of things. But for me, that's a good diet of things to be a person of integrity, to be whole. We need to try and include those things if we can somehow. And I'll ask you to reflect as we're going through this evening. Are there any things that you need to adjust a bit in your life? Are there things that you've lost or are not doing? Because all of those aspects are really, really important. Okay, Jess, next slide, please. Now, this second section of spiritual integrity, these are my phrases, by the way. You might not agree with them. They might not be perfect, but they're for what they are. What would be the aspects of a balanced spiritual life when we consider how we are with other believers? Is there anything that should be different from the list we've had there? Anything you'd add? Anything you'd take away from the previous list we had when we're talking about our spiritual life with other believers? Sensitivity, yeah. Looking to the needs of others, yep. There's healing, yeah. Okay. Praying for people, praying together, yep. Okay, Daryl. Love. Love. Okay, you're going to do loads of things which are not on my list now. This is not. But you're right, there's so many things that you can't do on your own. You're absolutely right with all of those things. You can't do them on your own. You can't love people on your own, can you? And you can't pray for people on your own. You already can, but, you know, it's different. Very different dynamic to it, isn't there? Let's have a look at what I put on there. And again, this is not necessarily an exhaustive list, but I put exactly the same things on there as I had before. But I've added one at the bottom, which is communion. We could equally well add some of those other things that you said, healing, love, whatever it might be. But prayer, praying for other people, not just praying on our own, praying with other people, laying on of hands. The reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, that's a bit different when we're with other people. That's where the role of preaching comes in. You come to church, you get encouraged by hearing somebody expounding the Word of God, encouraging you, stretching you in your faith. You get a chance to think and to listen and to assimilate and take things in that are not just what God says to you, but through other people as well. And that can add a new dynamic to things. So let me ask you the question again. Is there anything else, anything in your spiritual life, your spiritual diet, if you like, which ought to be there that isn't there at the moment? Because it's so easy to miss out on things. Busy family life can often mean you struggle to do midweek things. Sometimes you do other midweek things which stop it happening. I know some people can't make Sunday mornings, which is the time at the moment where we break bread together, and we don't tend to do it very often at other times. So these are all aspects of our spiritual life, our spiritual diet, if you like, that we need to try and make time for if we're going to be whole and complete people. Any one of these things that's missing, and indeed some of the others you've mentioned as well, any of those things that are missing, we're going to be not quite the person of integrity. That's not to say we're not morally good people, but there's something about a wholeness that God wants us to have about our Christian experience. Personal integrity. Can we have the title for that one, please, Jess? How I am within myself. Now, this is my title again. This is not anything I borrow from anyone else, so don't take it as definitive research or anything like that. But personal integrity, how I am within myself. Could you just have a think for a minute about the different aspects of your daily life? I don't expect you to call these ones out, but what are the sorts of things you get up to on a daily basis or a weekly basis? How does it all hang together? And if we flick to the next slide, yes, please. Those are some of the things that I've put there that I think are important. Now, Daryl will recognise some of these because they came up at a leaders' forum that you had a few months ago, a couple of the ones at the bottom about exercise and sleep. Crucial for people to be functioning well and functioning as whole people, as people of integrity, where it's all hanging together. I'm really rubbish at sleep, to be honest with you. I've managed for years and years to get by with very little sleep. It's not something I'm good at. And I'm not proud of saying that, but that's just the reality of what it is for me. As you can see, exercise is something I have no problem with whatsoever. That is all fine. I'm tick that box. thank you. And we all are different phases of life. Some of us have got children at home. Some of us have not got children. Some of us are single. Some of us are growing up. Some of us have still got a lot of growing up to do. Some people are retired. So some of those things might not be relevant to you at this stage of life or might not be very important. But all those things are important aspects of who we are. And if we're not careful, if we miss out some of those things, we're not integrated people. Those things are all important. You can add to the list. You can make it your own list. You can take some things off that don't apply to you. But all of those things are really, really important if we're going to be people of integrity, people of wholeness, people for whom it's all hanging together. If your spiritual life starts to go to pieces, it's no good. If your family life starts to go to pieces because of what you're doing elsewhere, that's not good. If your work life goes to pieces because of other stuff that you're doing, that's not good. You'll lose your job. We've got to hold all these things together in our lives, and it's very difficult at times. But we need to find the time and the space to make sure we include all of these things. There are two particular things that I would like to highlight on this. If we go to the next slide, please, Jess. Sacred versus secular. Sacred versus secular. In other words, spiritual things and not spiritual things. What would Jesus do if he were in the room with me all day long? How comfortable would I be with that? If he went around with me doing a time and motion study with a clipboard and a pen, with a, you know, that was good, that wasn't so good. When he saw me watching TV, when he saw me sitting in the study, when he saw me going out for a walk, when he saw me interacting with my wife, when he saw me interacting with my children, when he saw me interacting with people at church. Is there such a thing as sacred and secular? I would argue that for the Christian, our whole life has to be integrated. It has to be an integrated whole. We can't say, Jesus, sorry, I've done my spiritual bit now. I've been to church, I've done that. Oh, and I've done this particular spiritual activity. You know, I've done this job that I'm supposed to do for church. Or I've had my quiet time this morning or my devotional time last night. Okay, now, is it all right if I kind of clock off? It's not like that. It's not that we have time with God and time without God. That would be crazy, to put it like that. Exactly. But there are times for doing all of those things, but I would argue that to be a whole and an integrated person, God has to be part and parcel of everything that we do. There can't be any bits of our life where we say, actually, that's nothing to do with God. That's nothing to do with him at all. He has to be part of everything that we do. Even if it's not conscious all the time, he has to be part of everything we do. Daryl mentioned this morning, and mentioned it, I think, at the Tuesday prayer meeting. I haven't got it on the slide there, but it's Romans 12:1 from the Message version. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I'll say it again. I know you've heard it several times now if you were here this morning, but I'll say it again. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. God wants to be involved in all that we do. Our whole lives. It's not sacred and secular. As I said on Tuesday morning, for those who were here for the prayer meeting, I just, during that morning, an old hymn came to mind, and it was "When Morning Gilds the Skies." My heart awaking cries, "Let Jesus Christ be praised." And one verse says, "Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised." It's alike at work and prayer. You know, everything has to be to do with our relationship with God. And the second thing I wanted to highlight on here, if we do this please, Jess. That'll be very familiar to you. Mary versus Martha. If you had to choose whether you're a Mary or a Martha, I wonder which it would be. And if you're not quite sure what I mean, let me explain to you briefly. Jesus came to visit the home of Lazarus, and his sisters were Mary and Martha. Mary just wanted to sit and listen to Jesus and spend time with him. Martha knew there was an awful lot of stuff to get done because Jesus had come to visit. And she got pretty cross with Mary because Mary was just sitting talking to Jesus, just sitting listening. And Martha was getting all the stuff done. Which are you, a Mary or a Martha? Or somewhere in between? Because the danger is that you can go one way or the other. In particular, the danger for a lot of Christians is they spend their time being Marthas. And I'm like that, if I'm honest. I don't want to say too much about the detail of this, but this crazy GDPR stuff, you know, the all of that, and various things to do with behind-the-scenes stuff at church, it can easily take up all your time. It can easily take up all your time. And you go to the end of the day thinking, I've had a day where I've been doing so much stuff for God. I've spent 8 hours today just doing stuff for the church, doing stuff for God. And Jesus just says, just come and sit at my feet. But if all you do is spend your time arms in the air, lying back in your armchair and worshipping and do nothing in terms of working for the kingdom, playing your role in church, then you're missing the other bit of it as well. God wants us to be balanced and whole people. He wants us to be a bit of Martha and a bit of Mary. In fact, probably he wants us to be completely Mary and completely Martha, but let's not go down there. That's a bit of a strange thing to say. Finally, number three, relational integrity. How am I with other people? Okay, similar question. If you could video your day today or yesterday, how comfortable would you be with other people seeing it? Oh, Michelle's feeling very confident here. Very confident. And some days we're good, but there's other days you'd want to go back to the tape and you'd want to wipe a bit out, wouldn't you? Because our lives are made up of so many different things with other people. They really are. And we have so many different things to do. There's two verses of scripture I've put up. Jess, please. Colossians 3:23, Ephesians 6:7. Again, how we are with other people can't be completely separated from how we are as believers and our relationship with God. God wants to treat all that we do as something that he is intimately involved with. With all the work we do that's nothing to do with church, secular jobs, even though I said earlier they can't be secular, but you know what I mean. Treat it as though it's something that God wants you to do, because he does want you to do it. He's given you the job. So whatever we do, it's serving the Lord. It's serving the Lord, whatever he calls us to do. But our interactions with other people can also be quite different, or difficult, shall I say. Not different, difficult. How many of you have difficult work situations where you think, oh, I wish I didn't have to put up with this day in, day out? Yeah, Daryl. Bridget, you work closely with Daryl. Your hand wasn't up. She's excellent. But can I ask you an awkward question? It might not apply to you. I hope it doesn't apply, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Am I a different person in different situations? Do my work colleagues really know what I'm like? Do they really know what I'm like? Okay. Do they really know? But we can easily be different people in different situations. We can put on, we put on a front. We don't want to pretend to be something we're not. But we're not authentic the whole time with people. And I'm arguing for an authenticity. That means that we are who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. I know that Daryl shared often about the running club. And I've started walking football, which I know always makes people laugh. So let's get the laughing out of the way now. I have damaged more parts of my body playing walking football in the last year than I ever did playing running football. was you reach for things that you ought to think you ought to be able to reach, and it's still, honestly, it's pretty fast, and it's quite tough going. So I challenge any of you who are laughing to come with me. Monday, 12 o'clock, Linsport. Come and join me, walking football. It's hard work. It really is. But I made a point of just saying, I'm going to be who I am in walking football. So naturally, I will try and bring things into a conversation with people. I won't fight shy of saying what I believe or what's happening, but equally, I won't push it too far. And that's the challenge. And this is where I want you to read some things I read yesterday from Carrie Newhoff, who is a name you may have heard before, because I know a few people kind of follow his blogs. And this was just yesterday morning I read this. He said, the problem with many non-Christians isn't that they don't know any Christians. The challenge is that they do. And that's their problem, that they do know Christians. And it says, many Christians will tell you that we have an image problem. We're treated unfairly, we're persecuted, or we're just badly misunderstood. And Karen Newhoff says, it's not so much that Christians have an image problem, it's far more likely that we have an integrity problem. And that's what struck me yesterday, and I knew I was preparing this on integrity. We have an integrity problem. The first thing he talks about is judging. Many, many people who are not believers see Christians as people who judge rather than people who love. So I would just ask you to reflect on that. How do people see you in that light? How do they see me in that light? Do my neighbours who I know, do they see, is what comes out of my mouth a criticism of certain things or a perception of criticism of certain things, or do they see love coming out of me? The second thing he mentions is hypocrisy. My walk doesn't always match my talk. And he says that's why he doesn't have a fish badge on his car, because he doesn't want to get found out by somebody who thinks, you're a Christian, you should know better, you shouldn't have been doing that on the road. So don't pretend to be something you're not. The walk has got to match the talk. There's a next slide, please, Jess. This is mine rather than Karen Newhoff's, but this is what I think integrity is all about as we begin to draw this to a close. Integrity is when what you believe matches with what you say, and when what you believe and what you say matches with how you act. Now, you may disagree with me. Thanks, Eliza. I'm really chuffed that someone has decided that's worth taking a picture of. Thank you very much. Do you want me to stand in front of it so you can take a picture? No. But integrity is where it all hangs together, to try and bring this to conclusion. It's what we believe hangs together with what we say, and what we say hangs together with what we do. It's got to all hang together. Otherwise, we're people of hypocrisy. And finally, Karen Newhoff mentions a third thing, which is friendship. And he says this, we need to pursue meaningful friendships with people who don't share our faith or even our interests or lifestyle. Are you so busy with church stuff that you don't ever get to meet non-Christians? Now, this is me speaking here. We're a multiracial church. How many close friends do you have who are a different race from you? We're a church of all ages. How many friends do you have who are a different age group from you? We're a church of all different social backgrounds. How many friends do you have in the church who are of a different social background from you? Do you gravitate to the same sort of people? And this, while I'm talking about church, is exactly the same with what happens outside of church as well. And Karen Newhoff says this, people aren't projects, people are people. People can smell a mile away if you see them as a project, not a person. There's two extremes, he says. Do we either talk all the time about our faith to the point where they get absolutely fed up with this, just bashing them all the time, or do we never say anything about our faith? And it's got to be somewhere in the middle. And he says we need to talk about our faith naturally, organically, in the context of our story, and I would say in the context of who I am as a person. So, Jess, we go to the last slide, please. You've seen it before. That's a summary of where we've got to. And all I'd like to ask you to do this evening as you go away is just to reflect on some of those things. Are there things in my personal walk with God that I need to adjust? Are there aspects that I've lost or that are missing? I'm not going to repeat them all. In terms of how I am in church with others or in our fellowship here, am I doing the things I should be doing? Am I involved with the things God wants me to be doing in the fellowship here, supporting, encouraging, and receiving at the same time? So how am I? What's the balance of my life like? Am I integrated? Am I complete and whole there? What about within myself, all the stuff I fill my day with, whether it's work or leisure or sleep or exercise or family or church or devotional time? Do I need to adjust the balance there with any of that? And finally, relational integrity with other people. Have I got the balance right there? How do people see me? Am I authentic? Do they see the real me, or do they see something which is not quite the real me? So I'll leave that with you to think about.